my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of the glory. Pour out your power.
We say, holy, 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 high and lifted up. You love him today? Oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
You love him tonight.
You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be in midweek service and get this thing going. Make you weak. If you hadn't had a good week, you're fixing to. Amen. Lord's good, isn't he? I was thinking back, Sister Barbara's not with us tonight, but she wrote a little letter there, and she reminded us of what Brother Quinn had said when he was here. God's word has to come to pass. God's word has to be fulfilled. So whatever's in the word of God has got to come to pass. And God bless you tonight. If you got your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Psalms. This will be Revival Part 3. We're going to just review a little bit since it's been a month or so. And always remember the announcements. January the 18th will be the fellowship meeting here at 3:30. Brother Aaron McGarry will be with us. Make sure that you bring your food, or if you can't come, send your food or have somebody get it for you. We're expecting a good time in the Lord and a good crowd. Amen. And then on the 19th, Brother Aaron will be staying over and speaking for us. So just pray for him. He's excited about coming. Spoke to him a couple of times yesterday. He's ready. So also remember, February the 1st, the Bible study, 6 o'clock. Will not be, this is not youth month, but we will still have Bible study. February the 15th will be our Valentine's banquet, I guess. Have you made that? No, but still, we're tentative, February the 15th. Also, I want you to keep remembering this. Men, write this down. June the 18th, 19th, and 20th. That is Father's Day weekend. We have rented a big lodge in Helen for all the men and the boys, young men, to go. And they'll be fishing all around there. We can trout fish like we did several years ago, but we'll be in a good, cool environment and just come up and fellowship with us. But that'll be Father's Day weekend, be in Helen, June the 18th, 19th, and 20th. And we will get with you about all the things you need to bring. But they say, well, that's June. That's 6 months. It'll be here tomorrow. Yeah. Amen. So just keep that in your mind. We've had several people go, oh, I forgot. Well, Father's Day's on the calendar. It's in June every year, yeah. Like Thanksgiving. Every year it's in November. All right, so just remember that. We'd love for all the fathers and the sons to come, and the women always do something too, so we have a good time in the Lord. We appreciate Brother Dale having a heart to be able to let us to do these things. Let us do these things. Amen. So that's Psalms 85, verse 1. We'll review a little bit. Keep everybody in your prayer. We haven't heard any more about Brother John LaFontaine, but he's had an open heart surgery and blockages and all that, so he's had a rough time, so keep him in your prayers. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, tonight that you would speak to us, Lord, not by just being a God that stands alone somewhere, but Lord, you're with your people. Your people have gathered together to hear from you, Lord, not to hear from a man, but to hear from you, Father. And I pray that you would take the words that are being said. You speak the words. You be the one that does the speaking, Father, and you're the only one that can do the revealing. We can talk as much as we want to all night long, but unless you come on the scene and reveal yourself to the people, it will do us no good, because Paul says the letter killeth, but the Spirit added to that letter will give it life. Father, we pray that you'd heal the sick, Lord, Brother John, and the different ones that we're praying for there, Lord. We pray that you'd just be with each one that's sick, even here in the building. The ones that are getting older, Lord, that you pray that you'll just comfort them in their troubles and the heartaches and trials, and you'll be with each one, Father. Bless the missionaries on the foreign fields, Lord. Give them fruit for the labor. Father, just forgive us of our sins, Lord, and show us our position and our place here in the waning hours of the time of this world that we're getting ready to leave, and we know the world's going to go on, but you said you were going to have a bride because you promised it in your word. So there will be someone that'll stand in the end time and say, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? And we will not have to go to that dark place called the grave. Father, we pray that you would just sanctify the people. Bless each one in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalms 85, verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of the son of Korah. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land, and thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Now God's word's got to come to pass. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Question mark. Wilt thou not revive us again? That thy people may rejoice in thee. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. We'll read this and be seated. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Watch these things right here. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house. Now what we were talking about, this house. Amen. Not the brick and mortar, this house. That my name may be in there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Thank the Lord for all the good things we had during the holidays. And thank goodness it's over. And we can get back to a little more normalcy and be able to, you know, this is time of the year when everybody kind of stays home and don't do a lot of vacating, and we can get a lot of things done. And we thank God that he's given us another year, and that we can look on the, you know, there's safety in the Word of God. And I was thinking yesterday that, and forgive me for a minute, but God knows who's going to make it and who's not going to make it. We don't. But if you'll ask God to give you a little insight, because we're all living under a prophetic message, coming from a prophet that saw things 60 and 70 and 80 years before they happened. Look at Naaman. He saw what? Chariots jostling in the streets 4,000 years before there was ever one car built. Right. So God gives people insight. Sure, God sent prophets, and he sent Brother Branham, but he didn't take that prophetic. He took his prophetic gift of divine healing, but not the prophetic gift of being prophetic people. Being able to see, because Brother Brown told us, we were prophetic people. We had prophetic insight, so we could see these things. And I was thinking the other day, you know, people say, well, I just don't know if I can make it. Well, you know what? God knew you was going to say that. But I'm here to tell you, quit saying that. You say, I'm going to make it. That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says we're going to make it. Somebody, and that's what I was thinking the other day, you know, God, there's an eternal strand that goes all the way from God all the way through. I mean, it doesn't end. We must, if we're attached to that, what have we got to worry about? If we attach ourselves to that eternal, you say, we're predestinated from the foundation of the world. God knew exactly where we would be. Right. But you don't.
Right.
That's the free moral agent part of man, that man can be a free moral agent. And how much more do we praise God being a free moral agent instead of just going and being beat into it or being whipped into doing something? Amen? So let's give ourselves all this year. We're talking about a revival, and we know that since we've been talking about it, it's got to start with you.
Right.
I'm going to read you another prayer that Sister Esther's not here tonight, but she's got it on her refrigerator, Sister Esther Smallwood. And she gave it to me, and I'm going to use it tonight. I think we ought to all put it on our refrigerators because it becomes a revival. We think, well, if Brother Mark would just get in line, we'll have a revival. Well, that may be so. But he's got to say that.
Right.
Our problem is we point our finger out there, and, well, if Brother Bob would quit doing... Let me read you this prayer in just a second. I'll tell you what a prophet did. A prayer for us. But it was a prayer for himself. All right, let's go to the Hebrew lexicon and see what... Remember, because revive is not resurrection. Resurrection is you are dead. If you are not born again today, you are dead. You are dead. But we want to be dead in Christ. Because the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And if you're dead in Christ today, you are born again.
Glory.
Amen? But this is a revival of what you already have. I want us to go through and look at the things that you already have. We ought to thank God for the things we already have.
Amen?
Amen? Not for what's coming. We know what's coming. According to the Bible, but we don't know exactly what tomorrow is.
Right.
But we know the guy that holds tomorrow.
Amen.
So revival then, get away from revival being resurrection. Resurrection is, sure, we want to get people saved. We want to get them sanctified. We want to get them full with the Holy Ghost. As we were talking in the youth Bible study, the question came up about communion. Communion is communing with God. And it's a very intimate thing. And if you don't take communion, it tells you one or two things. I was telling the kids, it's that dividing time and that defining moment when somebody walks up in front of you and hands you the bread and the wine and you don't partake of it. There's a problem there. All Christians take communion.
Amen.
All right? If you're born again, you will take communion.
Right.
You say, well, I've got... Forget all that. If you're born again, find out first. Even if you have a problem, Brother Branham said, take the communion, but go make it right.
Right.
Take the communion, but go make it right. And if you're born again, you will go make it right.
Right.
So see, it all goes back to that. And I don't want it to be something to where it's a embarrassing moment. But if you don't take communion, then it's just got to be that you're not born again.
Right.
Same way with, like, we're talking about coming to church and doing all these things. It just tells us, it defines our life. So now let's look at revival. It says to live, have life, remain alive.
Right.
Sustain life. And what do we say a revival meant? It meant water. What is the sustain? You know, you can do without food. Some of us could for a while. But we can't do without water.
Right.
You can't, it's only like 7 days you can do without something liquid, but now you can do without food. So we want to remain alive or sustain, so we want this revival to be a sustaining revival.
Glory.
We want it to be something that when you get up in the morning, put your feet on the ground, you've already been the victor. Because
right.
There's a lot of people who didn't make it through that evening.
Right.
And here I'm coming close to 60 years old and I see that more than ever.
Yeah.
Me and another man was talking today, he looked at me and he said, there's a lot of people not made it to 60 years old. I said, there's millions of people never made it to the age you are. Even you young kids, there's millions of people never made it to your age. Why are you still here? Why is God still doing things? Why? He's not finished with you. When God's finished with you, I want the book folded and I want to go to the house. But when he's not done with me yet, so I'm just going to keep on going. But and that's what sustains us, is that revival that we have in our life. And I'll read you something a little bit later about Brother Branham talks about things becoming common and becoming plain. We don't want that to happen. We want to have that little spark all the time. All right? To live, to have life, remain alive, sustain life, live prosperously. Now, that doesn't always mean that we live in a 5,000 square foot house. No, that doesn't mean that. You can live a prosperous life and be a pauper. Look at Lazarus. Remember, the one that was in the bosom of Abraham, he was a pauper. And the rich young ruler was the one that was in hell. All right, so live forever. Be quickened. Be alive. Be restored to life and health. To continue in life and remain alive. You say, well, that doesn't mean normal, natural life. That means stay alive in God.
Glory.
Because I'm going to tell you something. Those that are in that sixth dimension now are more alive in God than me and you are.
Amen.
Amen? So that we got to quit looking at it, that we're more alive because we're... No, that just means you can breathe.
Right.
That just means you still got part of your human faculty here. They're over there breathing eternal air.
Amen.
Amen. But to get them here, you and I are going to have to be quickened to a point that's never been quickened before. That's what we're going to try to get to. And it's a requirement. It's a requirement because we're going to look in a few minutes about the church ages. There are requirements in each church age, and we're going to look at them. And we're going to see how their revival died. Because the revival died, God sent somebody to revive what they had fallen from. Amen? And listen, when there's a rebuke in this book of Revelations, when there's a rebuke to these church ages, it's not a rebuke to the world. It's a rebuke to the Christians that have fallen away. As Brother Dale's bringing now so graciously and wonderful about that seed is the children of God.
Glory.
Children of the kingdom. Sure, it's the word of God. We know that. But what does he say? He says, well, that's the children of the kingdom. He's talking about me and you. As Satan took your joy away from you. But he can't have it. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Right.
Amen. I don't want him to have any joy. I want him to be the most miserable person that ever lived.
Right.
The only problem is we let him in here and both of you that way.
Yep.
True? But let him be miserable. But I'm not going to be miserable.
Right.
All right, so let's look at this, the next one. Number one, this is the first prayer. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go to Hosea. We got to go to the promise. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. Promise of God must come to pass. God's word has to come to pass.
Amen.
It couldn't during those 2 days come as this is coming here.
Right.
He will revive us. In the third day he will what? Raise us up.
Right.
And we shall live in his sight, showing the resurrection. In that third day. All right, the deity of Jesus Christ, number one. This is the first prayer that that we showed Brother Brown. He's praying here. Now watch. Now start a revival in the hearts of the people this morning. This is in 1949, and I want you to see how in 1964, Brother Branham, now watch what he's doing in this. He says, now start a revival in the hearts of the people. Look at me, in the hearts of the people. Bring a revival in the hearts of the people this morning, Lord. May this be a renewing time, a time when the Spirit will be renewed. And, oh, Father, we'd pray it this way. Come get us by the hand.
Right.
Each one of us and walk us down this lane here. Show to us this great picture that's set in order here, revealing your secrets to the saints' hearts this morning, that we might see what's out just before us. As we walk down, Lord, in the armor of God, may we go as gallant soldiers to face the enemy. But how could we face him unless we know his tactics? And keep us this morning to understand and show his foregrounds there so we'll know where to meet him, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's 1949. Hang on a minute. We're not done. 1964, this is the one that Sister Esther brought to me. I'm pretty sure I had it in my notes of the 1,200 quotes that I've got. But watch this. Now, watch. Brother Branham is not talking to the congregation. 1949, he said we. He said us, the people. Listen to this prayer, 1964. God, create in me. I circled every one of these. A revival. Let me be the revival. Let each one of us be the revival. The revival in me. Make me Lord. That's our problem. We look at everybody else's problem. That means you're the problem. Sorry. Make me, Lord, to hunger. Make me to thirst. Create in me, Lord, that what is needed in me. Let me from this hour on be thine. More consecrated servant, talking about himself, a better servant. This is 1964. The seals have already broke. He's at the end of his ministry, and he's still wanting God.
Right.
He's talking personally to God. I create in me. More able, more humbler, more kinder, more willing to work, more looking to the things that are positive and forgetting the things that are in the past. That's what Brother Nate was talking about Sunday and Saturday. And the negatives. If we keep hanging on negatives, you're not going to get anywhere. Let me press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. Amen. That's on my refrigerator. Because it's talking about me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me.
Right.
Amen. Make me, Lord. Make me a better servant. Lord, have mercy. Make me, create in me a revival. Let me be the revival. What was the Welch revival?
Right.
Where's the Welch revival, Mr. Policeman? He said, looking at it.
Right.
Well, you know what, Brother Brown used that over and over, so it must have been true. That revival was in that policeman that was walking down the road. Can it be in us?
Amen.
But now look at number three. But how does this come about? The angel of the Lord, 1951. And when we see these crowds gathering, that doesn't mean revival. That's just a gathering. But a revival is when people get really right with God and pray through. We were talking about Sunday school and different ones or in Bible study. The reason that we know we have the Holy Ghost is what? One thing the Bible tells us. Sighing and crying for the abomination done in the city. Sighing and crying for the abomination done in what's going on in the message.
Right.
Amen? But you got to go back to personal. Let me start the revival.
Right.
Let me be the one that it starts in. That policeman was so proud that Welch revival was in him. Not in his neighbor. But if it was in his neighbor and his neighbor confessed it, what a revival. But remember, it's not going to be a revival of putting up tents and the music's not going to get, you know, we're not going to hire a worship team to come in, you know, and try to get some of y'all live. Some of you to raise your hand. Put a little Ben Gay on your arm, raise your hand. And when you see these crowds gathering, that doesn't mean revival. That's just a gathering. But a revival is when the people get really right with God and pray through. Bob? Cry for that boy. Pray through. Cry for your children. Have you ever prayed through for your kids? Get desperate. We're just not desperate enough. And pray through and start a revival throughout the city. But I'll promise you one thing. Bob was sending me a message today, and we'll talk about that later. But, you know, I thought, well, you know, if it's like me, you pray without ceasing. We've all got our little things that we can sit somewhere, but let's don't make it so Catholic to where we got to, you know, sit down and put the cross in front of us. And no, to pray through would be, you could be driving down the road and just praying through. You know, I mean, that's some of your best prayers, especially when you're driving and people want to cut you off on the road. You start praying that the Lord will help you get through. But you think about your family and you think about these different things that we're dealing with in life. I'm talking about you as a family. You deal with things in your life. You got to deal with them personally. I can't sigh and cry for Kaylee and Zoe as much as I would Deanna. Or my own daughter and my son. Why? Because they're not mine. But I still cry and pray for them too. Okay? Well, that's the way we need to do. You say, well, what do we need? We need to pray more. Read our Bible more. Brother Brown said, get closer to God. Read your Bible. and pray. And I will include listening to a few messages if you don't mind. Amen. Start a revival throughout the city and everything, you see. They put away sin, put away their iniquity, turn to God, turn around and start back again. All right, look at number four. Now, what is a revival? It's just a stirring up of what you already got. Now, listen. We should have a coffer full of the truth. I'm telling you. But the letter will kill you if you don't bring it from here to here. It's not stirring up this.
Right.
It's stirring up what's in here.
Glory.
Amen. Sure, I know it's got to drop down. We know that. We know it's connected. But still, a revelation comes from your heart,
right,
not from your brain.
Right.
Amen. Right. It comes from your heart, not from up here. I wished everything up here was quickened down here, but not yet. But it's going there. It's getting there if you what? Open yourself up and let God do it. So we want to just stir up what we already have. Number five. Now, minister cannot bring a revival. There's no preacher can bring a revival. So don't look to me and Brother Dale. Don't look to Bob. It's going to come up here. And that's what we think. We think, well, we're going to have one great message, and all of a sudden, all of us are going to start. That's not the way it's going to happen. It's got to start with you guys.
Amen.
It's got to start with you and me when I'm sitting here. It's got to start with us. Because the preacher don't have it. There's no preacher can bring a revival. He doesn't pack it with him. And the only thing he can do is just be loyal to God and his word. And we believe Brother Dale is. And the ministry here. And the revival has to come by the people in your home, in your life. Now, a revival isn't adding new members to the church. It's reviving that what we've already got.
Amen.
We should be able to be in a perpetual revival in the word of God that we've had here for the 50 years that we've been in this church. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you may have not been here that long, but you know what? 11th hour workers get the same pay.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
11th hour workers get this. And you know what? Freedom, that makes you happy, right?
Right.
I had somebody ask me something several years ago from here and said, Brother Dale, Brother Wade, I don't know if I can catch up. I've been out for so long. Make yourself available to God.
Right.
You make yourself available to God, he'll fill you up. That 11th hour worker got exactly the same pay.
Amen.
Let me read this again. God's word has to come to pass.
Right.
And if you're an 11th hour worker, you will get your portion the same as the people that's been here. Just reading what the Bible says. All right. It's reviving what we've already got. Number six, believest thou this. What we need today is an old-fashioned God-sent revival. Clean up the home, clean up the heart. Get things ready. So you see what you got to do. We got to clean ourselves up. Clean up the heart. Get things ready. Start a revival in your home, and it'll begin at the church. Preachers don't bring it in his briefcase. I wish. I wish we could bring a revival and just throw it out all over the... But God sends it from heaven to the individuals. Individuals. You could be in a revival right now and your neighbor be as dead as a hammer. That's just the way God is.
Glory.
Number seven, getting in the spirit. That's the way you get a revival. It's when you really get in the spirit of revival. Now, what is the spirit of revival? Reviving what you already have. Not whooping it up or something. That's been the whole thing. Everybody's wanting to wait on this last revival that the bride's fixing to have, and they think it's going to be some signs and wonders and great miracles. That's not what this says.
Right.
Listen, it will come with it.
Right.
How many of y'all been healed in the past 10 years?
Glory.
90%.
Glory.
What a revival.
Right.
Most people can't say that.
Right.
But we have been in a revival. I just want to help you realize when it comes. That's our job,
right,
is to help you realize I'm in a revival.
Right.
Maybe I didn't even know it. Remember, I was telling you the other day, or we were talking downstairs, somebody says, well, what are we doing here? I mean, we're this and we're that. We can't do this and we can't do this and we can't do that. I said, look, Brother Branham had a vision of shooting a bear And there was a man there. He saw his hand, but he didn't see his face. And he saw a green checky shirt. We know that was Brother Biscoe, right? Now, when Brother Biscoe tells his story of that, he says, I put that shirt on. He said, Brother Brown told us the whole thing was going to happen. I put the shirt on. He said, for 2 hours, I walked in that vision for 2 hours before I looked down and realized there's the bear. Here's the guy with the green checkered shirt, and there's my hand. He had a small, remember Brother Brown said he had a small hand? He was 2 hours in a supernatural vision and didn't even know it. That's what I'm saying. We could already be in the greatest revival that there ever been, and you just don't know it yet. But boy, when you do know it, what did Brother Biscoe say? He said, I knew it was going to happen then. He might have had, you know, remember he was down. Now, Brother Branham, I can see all the way to the horses, remember? He was a guide. I can see all the way to them horses. They ain't a bear nowhere. You sure, Brother Branham? He just, and I'm sure Brother Branham's looking at the green checkered shirt and going, yeah, I'm sure it's going to happen. And him going, I don't know, Brother Branham. Brother Branham looked at that green checkered shirt and says, I know it's going to happen. Why? Because he saw the man in the green checkered shirt. But the guy with the green checkered shirt that was part of the vision had no clue for 2 hours. And you know what? When that bear popped up down that valley, I believe Brother Biscoe may have looked down at that green checkered shirt and said, I think he's going to hit it. I think he's going to hit that bear, because he realized where he was at. Well, that's the way it is with preaching the gospel. I want us to realize that we've come from somewhere. And we have arrived at a position. We've arrived at a position that we need to go on with God just a little more. Go on a little more with God. Go up a little, come up higher. We're in that third day period. Amen? All right. In your home, in your life. What number am I on? 7. All right, look. Don't whoop it up or something, but by praying it down.
Glory.
Until there's a revival strikes what? Your heart. Not here. Your heart.
Right.
Until all the logs of ecclesiasticism, all the logs of fanaticism, all the logs of system, and all the logs of unbelief flow out. Excuse me. And then the waters, now what's waters? Revival. The revival of God comes falling down upon you.
Right.
Not upon a whole group. On you.
Right.
All right. Number 8. We'll get down to number 9 and then we'll go into the church ages for a minute. Excuse me. Oh Christian people, bind yourself together with one heart and one accord. For God cannot no more send the gifts to the church while the church is separated.
Right.
So that's why we're without gifts. We're separated.
Right.
Maybe not so much separated with belief, but we may have separated ourselves. For God cannot no more send the gifts to the church while the church is separated, then he can send the Holy Ghost unless you're in one accord.
Right.
That's right, for it comes by the Holy Ghost. Believe it.
Right.
All right, let's go to number 9, and then we'll make some comments here. That's the reason we can't have a revival. You've got to get back to God's faith again in the Bible, where men and women become born again and regenerated by the Holy Ghost. Then that man can't help from being a Christian. He's a Christian by birth.
Right.
You don't have to pledge him, give him cards, and visit him. That's babies. You don't have to pledge him, give him cards, and visit him. I'm reading you the prophet's quote here. If he's born again, brother, you almost have to bar the door to keep him out.
Right.
Hmm. You almost have to bar the door to keep him out. We ain't done that yet. We ain't had to. But what happens is, now they don't have these because I wanted to go and read it in my Bible, but if you want to go to Revelation chapter 2, because what happens is a revival began on the day of Pentecost, AD 30. We're not talking about Azusa Street at the moment, but back AD 30 there was a revival come down. And you say, well, no, that was, it was a resurrection, but it revived what they had already held for 3.5 years. They were a little bit more special than most people. They had the Word himself tell them, and they packed it in, as Brother Dale showed us. They took the Word and held it, and they held it until it was quickened.
Right.
And then what did they do? They didn't stay in the upper room. They went out. And they what? Manifested what was already inside of them, but it had to be quickened first. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right? And so they went out to the people. They preached the gospel. But what happened? The zeal began to fall away. Chapter 2, verse 4. Now, Ephesus was a mighty church. They did not have a doctrine of a false baptism. They did not have a Trinity to worry with. They did not have an eternal hell to worry with. They didn't have all these doctrines that we have now to worry with. They were the pure church. Nevertheless, verse 4, I have somewhat against thee. Now, he's not talking to the world. He's talking to the bride. He's talking to the bride of that age. You have got away from your first love. And that was just a very short period of time from AD 30. Of course, John wrote this in AD 96, but the Ephesian church age started back in AD 50-something. Or 30-something all the way up to 50-something. Okay? You have already. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen. And repent. And do the first works. We're going to cover this more Sunday. What's the first works? The works you started with. Clean up the home. Do the right thing. Communion, foot washing, water baptism. Make sure that's all right. Make sure you're doing those things. But if you don't, I'm going to come quickly and remove thy candlestick. In other words, he's going to remove your joy, just like what Brother Dale's talking about. Satan's going to come in, and he's going to what? Grab your joy, and he's going to pull it right out of you. That's not a revival. No. We want a revival to keep going. And you know what? God did keep going. Because even though he said, Ephesus, you've fallen away from your first love. But nevertheless, we're going to continue on. But see, verse 6, but this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So he told them, you've fallen away from your first love, but there are some things I like about you. Amen? That ought to make you happy. And it's not something your neighbor thinks is good about you. It's what God says is good about you. Amen? All right, now let's go to chapter 2, verse 9. And this is the Smyrna church age. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. We're of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. You may be tried. You'll have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. All right, but remember, there's a church age. All right. If I should have brought my chart, because we remember the chart we did with the porter, and we've been through it about the church age messengers, where the porter stands in the gap. Because remember, each church age should lap over. It's not church ages like this.
Right.
Everybody, we may go over it again for those who are new. We got a lot of new people, but there was a church age messenger. Remember, the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. Let me just run through it real quick. Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. That was the messenger to the Pentecostal age.
Right.
Amen. Then Paul comes at the end of that Pentecostal age and brings his message to Ephesus. Well, those Pentecostals started getting away from their first love. God put a prophet on the scene. What? To call them back, to revive them. Sure, there was people got born again. But they, you know what? Listen, when you see those circles out through there that Brother Branham drew, remember, they're not separated. Thank you. I love him guys back there. Here's the Pentecostal age. Paul comes at the end of Pentecost, brings his message as we preached here. But what happened? Paul was a messenger, give a message, went off the scene. What's the first thing happened? They started falling away.
Exactly.
Now, as they fell away, now look, hold on a minute. This is not really correct. Remember, they wasn't people who got born again with Paul, and then all of a sudden, nobody else got born again until Irenaeus come on the scene. That's not true. God's always had bride on the face of the earth since the day of Pentecost. There's never been a day when there hadn't been a bride on the day of Pentecost, since the day of Pentecost. Amen? So that's really not correct. But Brother Bram said they lap over like this. There's a lap over because what happens is, look at the curvature. They start going down. God sends a porter, which is Irenaeus. He didn't send Irenaeus over here. He sent Irenaeus in the first of the church age. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, there was a porter, or one stands at the door to introduce Christ to the people. In Irenaeus' age, you can read it in the Bible, they come and had a great age, but then what happened at the end of the age? There was a falling away. They needed a revival. It wasn't they needed more Christians. They needed to revive what was already there. So they come into a revival now that Martin comes on the scene right here, brings his message to the Pergamene church age. They do the same identical thing. Ebb and flow. Ebb and flow. Because you can read it. Let's read the next one. Verse 14 of that same. This will be the Pergamene church age. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. But look, but I have a few things against thee.
Right.
Just a few. Let's don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
Just a few things I have against you. Let me tell you something real quick. I'm talking to all of you. You better be quiet about what you say about your brother and sister. I'm telling all of you. Because you're in trouble with God. Brother Brown stood and he called them people Rickies and Rickettas for about 3 years. I got the quote right in there. God said, you shut up. Those are my people. Amen? Am I telling you what God told Brother Branham about him calling Rickies and Rickettas? He said, those are my people. They're just caught in a system. You know what he was telling them? He said, you be quiet because they're born again people out there. You better be quiet about what you say about your brother and sister. There's only one judge. I just be careful. You might get your candlestick pulled out. But I have a few things against thee. Thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Huh? It crept in the church. But God allowed it. Remember, he's not talking to the world. Where did it creep into? It crept into this Pergamene church age. That's why it wasn't a big surprise that we got all these doctrines in the message. It's happened since the dawn of time.
Right.
Remember who was that? Serentius in the first church age was preaching that Jesus was a light substance of God,
right,
just like they're preaching now that Jesus wasn't God to the River Jordan.
Right.
Same devil, different name.
Right.
Remember, those demons don't die. They just hop and skip right through the church ages.
Right.
Amen? And sadly, into the church. All right. This started something, but I'll hold it. Thyatira. Look at verse 19. 2 verse 19. I know thy works in charity and service and faith. He gave them the message of the hour, their message of the hour. But look at verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Now listen, he didn't throw the age out. He didn't throw the Christian people out. He didn't throw the born again. He didn't throw his sons and daughters out. But he did give them a rebuke by the word of God, by a preacher, men, not women. Because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel. You let her come in and try to run the church. That's exactly what that says. Because thou suffer. What did Jezebel want to do? She wanted to take over. She wanted to kill the true people of God and she wanted to take over. Which calleth herself a prophetess. Oh, I got the message. I've been in it for 50 years. Better be careful. To teach and seduce what? My servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed. That's what they had to put up with. Now put the church ages back up here. I gave her place to repent and she repented not. That was the problem. That was the separation. She didn't repent, but the rest of them did. Go back to here. Now, so we see that in each of these ages, God brings a message and a messenger, what, at the end of the previous age? Because this is where the falling away is at.
Right.
The falling away is not here. Oh, that's a revival here. The tree is growing. Oh, they're bringing people in, and this new message of Martin is coming in, and he's bringing, but then what happened? The devil gets in the church and starts driving it back down. So what happened? All the way down to the Holy Ghost coming the same way as it did at Pentecost. There had to be a prophet come at the end of the Pentecostal age. Because see, that was an important age. That was the pure Holy Ghost falling on believers, 120 in the upper room and then 3,000 downstairs, which started Christendom, which started the church ages. But then we come down to right here, and remember, Brother Branham's the one that put that light right there. The angel blacked it all out. He said, I added that little bit of light. So the Holy Ghost come where? On Azusa Street to restore the gifts at the end of Wesley's age. No messenger to the age. Brother Branham wasn't a messenger to Pentecost. Just as Paul wasn't a messenger to Pentecost. Paul was a messenger to the Ephesian church age. Brother Branham comes at the end of the Pentecostal age and brings his message. Now remember, this man's special. These people have one thing to do. Bring a bride, rebuke the world, and break a plague on the earth. Now Brother Branham's a little bit different. Because there's no other church age that this is going to fall away and then we're going to go back into the same thing again. So Brother Branham, he said, this messenger of Malachi 4 is to do two things. Number one, turn the hearts of the what? Children, babbling Pentecostal babies, trying to grow them up in God, back to the faith of the fathers. Amen. Which is where's the faith of the fathers? Right here. Restore it back to here. And then bring his message, the second part of his message, which was the seals. And that put Brother Branham in this slot here to preach us right on into eternity.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
He restored all the way through here. Remember he said, I'm not the messenger of Laodicea. If he was, he would be right here. He's not there. He come at the end of the age.
Right. Amen.
Just real simple. Excuse me. All right, let's go. No, let's leave that up. But you see what? God holds this pattern. Let's skip over here just a little bit. I don't want to be too long. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 14. Let's go to the Laodicean. Let's see. This is our age, so we should know what this is. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Now remember, in this church age, there is no salutation of you're doing very good. It starts off that you're not doing very well. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Now, absolutely, that's our age. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But, brothers and sisters, I counsel thee to buy of me, buy of God, gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that they mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. In other words, to behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Remember, the door didn't have a knob on the outside. The Son of Man's who got put out of the church. So it was a man standing there knocking on the door. They put Brother Branham, when he started preaching the Son of Man message, that's when they put him out. They loved him and all that wonderful thing all the way up to where he comes up to 1963 and he says, spoken words original seed in 1962, he says, thousands of my friends will leave me. Why? He was bringing a doctrine. He was bringing his message that he was supposed to bring, being the Elijah of this end time. Everybody got that? Say amen. To him that overcometh, nobody in any church age has got this close to God. No one. You've got all these different things, doctrine of Balaam, and you've got all these, and I rebuke you, but I love you, and I chasten you, and all these different things. But look at this one right here. This is the closest we're going to get. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me. Didn't say on my throne. It says in my throne. St. John 17. Lord, I pray that they are one as you and I are one. Even as also I have overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. There was a revival. Listen, this message doesn't need a revival. It's a pure message. But without you, it's nothing. So you are the message. You bring the revival, because Brother Brown said, as long as it lays on these pages, that's what they're doing now. Because they don't have the Holy Ghost to quicken what's on the pages. They're just reading the quotes and going, I don't believe that. Or I don't think he was there when that happened. Or I don't think this and I don't think that. And he said this wrong and he said that wrong. Come on, people. It told us in the Bible what they were going to do. And we still marvel. But God's word has to come to pass. Doesn't matter if it's the rebuke, it's got to come to pass. Doesn't matter if it's the glory, it's got to come to pass. But it's you and I, our free moral agency, that decides where we're at. You say, oh, God's got this thing figured out. Yeah, he's got it figured out, but it's figured out because of what you're doing. We don't believe in predestination where God puts you in a tube and just pulled you through it, do we? No. He knew what you was going to do going your way through the tube. So he had what? He had the word sent here if you desire it. If you desire it, he's got the word sent here. If you don't desire it, then you're going to stand at the day of judgment and he's going to say, I laid the full course, 7-course meal out there in front of you, and you didn't eat it. You was eating crumbs, or you was chewing on the plate. Amen. Now look, go to the next quote. Now look, in the church ages. Now we know, I told you about the great awakening that happened in the different times with Luther and Wesley, and we know all that. Brother Brown's told us all that. We've come through Luther, Wesley, Sankey, Calvin, Finley, Azusa Street, Brother Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, all these different ones. But remember, that revival may have saved people, and it did revive some of the things that they were going through. But this revival, if Brother Branham is correct, I'm telling you this, not me. If Brother Branham's correct, this is going to be a word revival. And it will not be a public show. So it's not going to be down there in Florida, in Orlando, where they're having, 17 straight months of revival. The whole world knows that. Check that one off. Sure, listen, not saying anything about them. They probably getting people saved. They're getting people to live better. They're getting people to do what their denomination says, but it's not, they can't revive the word back into power again. This is what we're trying to do. This word is all powerful, but you and I make it of none effect. You and I make it of none effect by the things that we do. Jesus stood and said, you make the word of none effect by your traditions. What's our tradition? Pick one. Brother Brown said, when the revival comes, look what's always come. When it come in the days of Jesus, just in the minority, just a few people. Look what John had there on the bank. John was the greatest prophet that ever hit the face of the earth besides Jesus Christ, right? You know what Jesus said? And he had just a handful of people. Just a few people gathered around from the regions around about to hear him. About 99% of them rejected his message and walked away. Yet it was a great revival and a shaking time.
Amen.
God shakes things and people don't realize it's being done.
Exactly.
See, God shakes his church. The revival is to his church. I believe the church is called out now. But the thing to revive us is to revive and shake that church to its place again.
Amen.
Amen? You want to know how to shake it? Let's read this. I like this. This is neat. It's kind of a long quote. If we would all take this approach, wake up. Jesus, Wednesday, people, come on. Grief. Come on. Wake up. Your soul's worth more than sleep. All right, let's read this quote, number 11. Greatest battle ever fought. This guy's name is Peter Cartwright. He's a Christian. Let's get that started right to start with. You got it? Like Peter Cartwright went into a city and said, Lord told me to come in here and have a revival. He rented an old storeroom, got in there, began to clean it up. Now this is a Christian man fixing to start a revival. Let's see how he starts it. And the big bully of the town, the pistol hanging on his side, walked down. Got doors. Some of them said, what's that guy doing down there? Said, he's a preacher. He's going to have a meeting, he said. Well, guess I'll just have to go down there and throw him out in the street and run him over. Run him out of here, that's all. We don't want no meeting around here. That's what the devil's been telling us. So he goes down there, stomped the door. Peter Cartwright had his coat on, you know, and he was just washing the windows and walls down. A little bitty fella, you know. Wasn't a linebacker for the whatever. A little bitty fella, you know. The old preacher laughed at him, you know, for eating chicken with his hands, which is etiquette today. Amen. You know. So he was just washing the windows and fixing around. The big bully walked over. Pulled his coat back, pistol hanging on his sides. What are you doing? Oh, I'm washing windows. And just kept on washing the windows, you know. He had one purpose. Listen, he had one purpose. He didn't care about that guy. He had one purpose. God told him to hold a revival, washing the windows on down. I mean, this guy was what? Cleaning his house.
Right.
We don't allow revivals around here. Oh, but the Lord told me to hold this revival. See, he just kept on out at his work. See. Well, he said, there's one thing you have to understand. I run this town around here. The devil said. He said, oh, you do? And just kept on washing the windows. Guy's got a lot of faith. He said, before you have a revival, you got to whip me first. Little bitty fella. This guy had a gun. Oh, I do? Well, I'll just do that next. He took off his coat, walked over and reached him by the collar and knocked him down on the floor. Jumped on top of him and said, I must fight if I should reign. I must fight if I should reign. Increase my courage, Lord. Pounded the tar out of him. Said, you get enough? He said, yes. He got up and shook his hand. He got saved that night in church. Now, we know the devil can't get saved. But you see what the influence of a man that didn't let circumstances bother him. He was washing the windows. He wasn't depending on somebody else to clean the house up. He was doing it. And when the devil showed up, he just turned around and looked at him and said, I got a purpose. God told me I can have a revival in this building right here. In this building right here. I'm going to have a revival. And if I got to whip you, devil, no problem. What did Brother Brown say? You know, he got that man down and he said, kept saying, boo, devil. Faith, his arms got great big then, you know. Satan's a bluff. Let's read number 12. I must fight if I shall reign. I think we ought to keep that one somewhere. I must fight if I should reign. Increase my courage, Lord. All right, number 12. Let's read this and then we'll be done. Excuse me. Elisha the prophet, 1956. Mothers of old, they loved and raised their children. But oh, this modern America day that we're living in now. I tell you, our nation is simply polluted. There's not a hope left to this nation, as I see. Only an old-fashioned revival, according to the scripture, it'll never be nationwide. So then we're just left, it'll be a revival among the people, comma, the elect of God. But it won't be a real sweeping revival, take the whole nation in, never was, never will be. So if this thing gets beyond these walls, maybe it's in another church. Maybe it'll get out. But still, I want to have a revival here. Amen. That's what I told the young people. I don't ever look and see who takes communion unless I'm administering the communion, because it's not my business. It's not our business to know what somebody says up here in the pulpit with the prayer and all that stuff. It's not our business. But I would love that every person in, I told them, I said, we make communion wine for this church. Mom and Dad does. And they make it a gallon or two at a time. I wish they'd make a gallon every month. I don't think they'd mind either. I wish we could fill them, stack them up this high. Because if you take communion, and if you prayed up, you read what the scripture says. But if you don't, you're eating and drinking condemnation to yourself. But if you're not, you're in the service of God. See what I mean, young people? Anybody, if you don't take communion, that shows you're not where you should be. Right. Well, it shows you where you're not at, so do something about it. That's why I said communion is a face-to-face. But what is communion? Communion is a face-to-face opportunity to say, God, I love you. My life is as clean as I can get it. Hey, I was just listening. You heard that tape? Brother Branham said, I'll have a bride without spot or wrinkle. It's up to him to do it. But he's going to do it through me and you. So when you stand to take communion, if you have no spot or no wrinkle, guess what? You're standing at a place that God can commune with you right then and there. He's so close. Because that's what communion is. Communion's not bread and wine. It's a symbol that you can communicate with your lover, the Lord Jesus Christ. It won't be a real sweeping revival. Take the whole nation. Never has, never will be. All right, now look. Third seal. We've read this, and I'm going to read it again, and we'll read one more, and we'll be finished. Now, that's the reason today that the revivals that we're supposed to have, we have denominational revivals. Now, look. We haven't had a real stirring. Now, remember, let's go back to the other quotes where he says it's not going to be a whooping and a hollering. And a, got it? So he's not talking about a whooping and a hollering. All right? We have denominational revivals. We haven't had a real stirring. No, 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 sir. Don't think we got revivals. See, you can't have a word revival when you got wrong word. A word revival. See, Jesus was the word revival. He didn't need a resurrection. He was the resurrection. But that revival came when he brought what? He brought us the word. And it caused a revival, because that's what that Pentecost lived off of. That's what the whole church ages have lived off of. They've lived off Jesus Christ, the revival, the stirring. Listen. Because remember, and I want to say this in all honesty. You hear people say, preachers, mostly 90% of them, 99% of them, we don't all see eye to eye. Okay. Did Jesus walk up and say, sometimes me and my father have a problem? Did he ever? Did he ever walk up and say, now, I've been fighting it out with my daddy back there. Yeah, but let's go a little bit further than him. I and my father are one. When the bride says, I and my father are one. And these other things, the shuck will pull away. Who? The shuck that stands there and says, well, that's your idea. That's your opinion. I don't see it that way. There's got to be one right. That's why word revival is a restoring of the word of the Son of Man. I hope you see that's what we're coming to. The Son of God down through the church ages, you could have... non-quickened word, because God can't quicken the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. But he will allow it because of what? His children. He had Rickies and Rickettas out there and caught in that system. I hope you understand that. He had them out there. Because Martin Luther was a Trinitarian, but God said he was well pleased to dwell in that guy. So you got to approach it to where some of those things were what? Hidden from man. But today the book's open, folks. There's no three different doctrines in the message. It's one message,
amen.
One doctrine, one way, one truth, one life. I and my Father are one. John 17, he said, Lord, I pray that they'll be one as you and I are one.
Right.
No, no, no. Don't think we got revivals. We haven't. Oh, they've got millions and millions of church members. But not a revival nowhere. No, no. The bride hasn't had a revival yet. There's been no revival there, no manifestation of God to stir the bride yet. Now you say, well, what's that manifestation? Go back to what he said. No hooping and hollering, no signs and wonders. You got healing revivals. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a manifestation that somebody can put the word together and the people can receive the word together. And it is the truth, not a bunch of error.
Right.
That's what a word revival is. That's what this end time word revival is. It's a reviving of the Son of Man ministry.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, so close, Brother Brown said, so close to being on the earth, but he's in his bride.
Right.
There's been no revival yet, no manifestation of God to stir the bride yet, see? We're looking for it. It will take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. Okay? That's what's going to wake us up. You say, well, what are they? They're the revelation contained in the seven seals that we preached the other day. And what Brother Dale's been preaching for 40 years. We're going to get it. Because God said we was going to get it. We can look all over it, all the bad, and all the this and that and the other, but somebody's going to get it.
Amen.
It'll take those seven unknown thunders back there. What? The complete plan of redemption, may I say.
Right.
That's the complete plan of redemption, which is body, spirit, and soul.
Right.
All right. There's the seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. He will send it. He promised it. And what did Brother George Quinn say? God's word has to come to pass.
Right.
He said it, and it's going to have to come to pass. And we'll leave you with this one, and then we'll talk about it Sunday afternoon. This is Testimony and Seed, 1964. Then we begin to find out miracles isn't taking place no more like they were. The sick go home sick. It isn't because of God. It's because of the lack of the revival among the people. There is no revival. They sit and listen, go home and say, well, I guess that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. See, there is not that zeal. That's what we're going to talk about Sunday. We'll talk about zeal. There is not that something in the people that should be there.
Right.
Not saying that nobody's Christian. He's not de-Christianizing people.
Right.
There's just something not there. You know what it is? It's the divine word being revealed. And us what? Taking it in and take your coat off and reach and get him by the collar, knock him in the floor, jump on top of him and say, I must fight if I should reign. That's pretty harsh. Somebody were to walk by, they'd go, I don't know about them two people. But you know, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, stood one day and he said, I didn't come to bring peace. He said, I came to bring a sword. I come to bring a division between them people out there and the people in here.
Amen.
The Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Yet one day he took and plaited a rope. If we were a bystander, we would go, that's a mad Jew. But what was he doing? He was fulfilling the word.
Right.
He even quoted it. He said, "You've made my father's house a den of thieves." He was in the scripture. So was Paul Cartwright. He was in the scripture. "I must fight if I should reign." That's in the Bible. So we got to fight this thing. We got to fight everything that's against. We got to fight everything that we thought before. We got to fight that we might reign. Let's stand to our feet. We must fight. Listen. When we come to the time of the five wise and the five foolish virgins, both groups were asleep. Both groups were asleep. Read your Bible. They all woke up. But one group realized they were missing something. And they go and look and say, "We need some oil." And that group looks at them and says, "You've been in this message 50 years. May I paraphrase? You've been in this message 50 years sitting in the message church, and you still say, now you tell me you ain't got the Holy Ghost?" So that's what the oil is, right? Oil is the Holy Ghost. Well, we've already used ours up. We've done this, all these excuses. And you know what? The five wise, go find it yourself. You've been playing forever how many years? We have got our oil. Now you think, boy, that sounds bad. That's not a real Christian attitude. But you know what? When it comes to life or death, you'll do everything to stay alive. Those people prepared. They got their oil. They made sure they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Even though they might have slept, but when the cry came out, they all woke up. But one went in and one stayed here. Amen? We don't want to do that. We want to have that revival. When God wakes us up, we want to make sure we've got plenty of oil.
Amen.
For yourself. This is a personal. You say, that's so impersonal. I just read you all these quotes where Brother Brown said, you are the revival.
Right.
An individual is a revival.
Right.
Not a great group. You by yourself are a revival in yourself.
Amen.
But let's make sure we're the wise virgins.
Right.
Make sure we got oil. Pray to God. Ask the Lord to give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right, amen.
And even after he gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, say, "Look, God, don't put me in a closet. Put me right there. And I'm going to stand. I'm going to be here. I want you to feed me.
Amen.
I'm just a baby, but I want you to feed me. I got a big old mouth.
Right.
Feed me. I may cry, but please feed me." You know, if we come and humble ourselves like that instead of looking over everybody else and thinking they're the problem. No, I was telling Jim today, if you think somebody else is the problem, I'll promise you one thing, by the word of God, you're the problem. And you're causing this church not to have a revival. You say, "Oh, now you say it's the one." Brother Bram said it starts with one and goes to the other. Well, what if it stops? Checking up time, folks. It's time to say, "It's my fault." Like Brother Dale says, I believe it's my fault if there's not a healing that walks away from this.
Right.
It's my fault. I've done something wrong.
Right.
Well, you gonna blame God? You better not. You can't blame God when somebody comes here and you open the Bible. God's word's got to come to pass. By his stripes you're healed.
Right.
What Brother Bram said, it ought to drive us into desperation when people are not healed of what they come up here for. That's what we should do. Sigh and cry. Sigh and cry. Listen, sigh and cry for your family first.
Right.
Your lost loved ones. I'm telling you, right here under my feet, there's 100 or more names on this. And you know what? Brother Gary, you may have to build us another church.
Yeah.
He puts you on the spot. But really, that's 100 people that I'm expecting God to do something to.
Right.
And they're not all my flesh and blood.
Right.
But I'm telling you, your church family is a lot closer than your natural family.
Amen. Right.
Amen. That's right.
Exactly.
So let's start acting like that. Amen. Musicians, come. But these people on this wall, I pray every service, save those people, Lord. Right on. If you've not been down to my Sunday school class, go look. There's 100 people or more on the wall with their names and their pictures. Right here, pretty much, pretty close to right in here. There's a wall. And those are your people. Those are your family. Those are your husbands, your wives, your fathers, your mothers, your children, your grandchildren. Pray for them. But pray that God will start a revival in you, because like Daddy's always said, and I agree, if we live a hound dog life in front of our kids, why in the world do you think they want what you've got? If your kids see you, and don't tell me they don't, see you do something off or whatever and not real Christian-like and start, you know, doing, hey, staying out of church. You stay out of church. You worried about your kids being in church.
Right.
How are you going to pray that, people? How are you going to pray, I want my kids saved, God? Oh, were you at church Sunday? Okay. Your kids watch you, folks. I'm telling you. They watch you and they want to see your conviction. And when your conviction goes wrong, they're still out there, you know.
Right.
They're still out there. Why? Because your conviction is not what you say it is.
Right.
Let's sing a song. Revival. Started in me and you.
Glory.
Started in us.
Upon life, my solutions were mighty pillars rolled. I fixed my hope in Jesus, place anchored up my soul. When trials and fears assail me, all the souls are gathered. I rest upon His mercy and trust Him more.
I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. Our God with a gun.
I've anchored in Jesus, for He has power to save.
Oh, I've anchored in the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil, gives me blessed peace. Listen, His voice has stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to Him I all confide. For always when I need Him, He's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He is my friend and Savior, in Him my anchor casts. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the past. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He has power to save. I've anchored in the rock.
Sing a chorus one more time.
Yes, I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages.
Fear hath torment.
What do you fear? Ain't nothing to fear but fear itself. Remember what Brother Ernie says? Fear is false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. What did God always say?
That's right.
What's the first thing He said when He met Adam? Fear not. What's the first thing He said when He met the disciples? Fear not.
Right.
What's the first thing the angel said to Brother Brown? Fear not.
Right.
All the things because He wanted to take away that fear. Sure, there's a holy reverence when you meet God, but there it should take the fear away.
Amen.
Listen, Adam had a problem conversing with God because of what he did. But now you and I, are supposed to come boldly to the throne. Now, who's sitting on it? God Almighty's sitting on that throne. And he said, come boldly to the throne. You know why we don't? We have sin.
That's right.
That so easily beset us. Paul said, us run the race with patience. And that's what God's been. He is a patient God. Because look how long he's let this thing run. But folks, it's coming down to a trying time. Brother Brown said it would be a razor's edge between truth and error. Razor's edge. That's pretty thin. A razor's edge. But we're anchored in the Word of God. We're anchored. If we stay anchored, then we'll be fine. Have a good day tomorrow. Have a good day Friday. If all minds are clear, we will dismiss. Go with God. Pray for this weekend. It's supposed to be some real bad storms, so we're going to pray that they won't be here. Amen? On Saturday and Sunday. So let's just bow our heads and be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us an opportunity to talk to the greatest people that ever walked on the face of this earth, the bride of Jesus Christ in the end time. Where in this building, someone, I believe, will stand and say, death, you have nothing in me or for me. Because we stand as Paul Cartwright and says, I must fight if I should reign. Lord, this is a battle. The greatest battle. Lord, we think of, the other day we were thinking of the great world wars and the wars and campaigns of Napoleon and Alexander the Great, and then we come up to the great civil war. Lord, those wars are talked about in history. They're still talked about among people. They're ingrained in our history. The Revolutionary War and World War I, World War II, all these great wars that men have fought. But this is the greatest battle that's ever been fought. And that's the battle of the mind between God, as Brother Chris was talking about, between God and Satan. Well, who stands between God and Satan? We do. And you will be victorious because your word said you are going to be victorious. You will be victorious through a bride, a little bride that's God in human flesh on the face of the earth. Lord, we must realize who we are and what we're doing here and our purpose for making it to this part of our life. Lord, reveal that. Show each and every one of us, Lord, that we are in that vision. That we may not realize it at the moment, but Lord, let us have a day of revelation to where we look down and see that we have on the green shirt and that we were part of that vision. Amen. And then we know in our heart, as Brother Biscoe said, I know that vision had to come to pass because it would not fail. Lord, you'll never fail us, but we sure will fail you. But I pray that you would just forgive us of our faults, heal the sick, give us a revival, Lord, that this building can't contain. Be with us, Lord. Take care of us until we come back Sunday. Bless our pastor. Keep him safe, Lord. Keep us all safe on the highways. Be with us, Lord, on the way home. Give us this day our daily bread, Father. We believe we have had communion with you tonight. And we pray that you'd just be with us now and continue this communion all the rest of our days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Give God
the
a good hand.
The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. The move is on.